All right, take your Bibles, have them ready there. You remember what we discussed last week? Anybody remember? Oh, do you get an outline? Did I bring the outlines out here? No, they're not. They're in the office. Oh, you got them? If you want an outline, they're nice and colored pictures and all kinds of things. Bob, do you have any back there? Bob has an outline. You did not get one. Elaine does not have one. Last week we talked about what I'm going to talk about tonight or speak on. When is obedience? When is obedience? So we're going to talk about obedience tonight. Last week we talked about decision making. Made any decisions recently? We make many every day. Some are very minor. Some are more detailed and more serious. I mentioned last week that sometimes one decision can change our lives and put a different direction. It can either be in a good direction or a bad direction. A poor decision, a bad decision, a poor choice decision can cause a believer to be skewed off of God's will or miss God's will altogether. So we need to be careful that when we're making decisions, they're based on God's word. They're based on God's will for our lives. But if we make the right decision, if we make good decisions, biblical decisions, decisions led by the Holy Spirit, then that puts us in a place where God can bless us because we're walking in His will. Praise the Lord, missionaries on the field are in God's will. They're exactly where God wants them to be. They made a good decision. It's important to understand, we also talked, let me just review for a moment, the significance and how to make a good decision. If you remember, you may not, I'll share it with you. We need to be sure that we're in fellowship with the Lord as we make decisions, right? If we're out of fellowship, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Bible says God will not hear me. We must be praying. It begins with the Word of God. We start with the Word of God. That's our starting point. But as we seek God's will through the Word of God, we're praying. We're praying and seeking the Lord. And we should have this willingness, Lord, whatever you show us is your will, then we will do that. We hope we have that spirit and that our desire is to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Now, that leads us to the question for the evening. All right, you ready? Listen to this. What we do after we have after God has revealed His will to us is crucial. What we do after we know God's will is crucial because it reveals much about our heart and our relationship with the Lord. God expects us to obey. I'm going to talk about commands and God's commands, which are biblical, and of course, God's will. God expects what? When it comes to His commands, what does God expect of us? Obedience. There are the promises of God. Excuse me, the principle of God. God expects us to obey His. Why? Well, we belong to Him. That's kind of vague. Why does God want us to come in? Why don't you just say, go do your own thing? God has called us. God has saved us. God has changed us. We belong to the Lord. His commands are given so that we might have a satisfactory, blessed, contented relationship with the Lord and a good spiritual life, right? Part of it. What more to is it? Yeah, but it all begins with obedience. All begins with obedience. I don't have time. I didn't put all this list on you. I have went through and looked at a lot of verses about obedience and so forth. I have over 50. I didn't copy them, but anyway, I got them off my internet, of course. Let's see here. Where's my first page on it, though? God said to the children of Israel, there it is. In Deuteronomy, it's in Deuteronomy, Samuel, Exodus. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord. Deuteronomy, thou shalt obey the voice of the Lord. In order on the command to the children of Israel, would obey my voice. There's a blessing if you obey. If you disobey, there's going to be problems. I like what Jeremiah said in 7:23, of course, through Jeremiah. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. Ye shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I've commanded you, that ye may be well unto you. So the children of Israel were encouraged to obey the voice of the Lord. Did they always do that? No, they did not. Do we always do that? Unfortunately, we don't either, so we miss some blessings. Joshua was told the children, take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua, as he goes into the promised land with the children of Israel, establishing the kingdom, here's what you need to do. And there's things from Kings. I have things from Kings. This was told to Solomon. God was talking to Solomon. If thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in the integrity of thy heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgment, goes on and says, I will bless you. So the emphasis here, God is emphasizing obedience, obedience, obedience to the word and to God's leadership. Well, I don't have time. Sometime we talk about Psalm 119 on Sunday night. There's all, I have at least 25 verses, even just from the book of Psalms, that says, keep the commandments, observe the law, keep the words of the Lord, keep his commandments. So the command is over and over and over again. Is there a New Testament section? Let me read. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1, 1 John 2 and 3, actually 1 John 2, 3 and 5. 1 John 2, 3. The verse says, I think I've written it down correctly. It says, obedience to God's commands gives evidence of salvation. It says, you there yet? 1 John 2, 3. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, the word keep in the New Testament has two different meanings. One place it says the peace of God will keep your hearts. That means to guard. This word keep means to obey or to respond to positively. So obedience to God's commands gives evidence of salvation. Look at chapter 3, verse 22. We are blessed by God if we keep his commandments. He says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep, we obey, we heed, we follow his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We keep his commandments because we want to please the Lord. Three, or the third one, 1 John chapter 5. Verse 2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. But God's commandments are hard, aren't they? Are they hard? And man, I don't think I can do that. Well, John, 1 John 5, 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are what? Not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. Yes, sir? Well, I don't care what they interpret. They're interpreting it wrong. How's that? We just leave them alone. God expects what I'm going to talk about. We're going to deal with. God expects full obedience. What do you think full obedience is? How would you define full obedience? You ever seen a child obey their parents but really didn't want to obey the parents? Go stand in the corner and feel bad about what you did. Go apologize to your sibling. They may have obeyed, but was that obedience? What's obedience? Okay, from a willing heart. What else? Elaborate. I'd say it this way, okay? What you're thinking. Obedience is doing what God tells us to do or leads us to do when he tells us to do it, in the way he tells us to do it, and with the right spirit which comes from the heart. Would you agree? So everything that we do in saying, I do such and such, is really not the kind of obedience that God wants. God wants that full obedience. And the key, one of the key examples of full obedience is Abraham, isn't it? Abraham was told to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. God called him to leave. I wonder how he knew God. I wonder how we don't have his background. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Then we're going to turn to 1 Kings 13. God spoke, in Genesis, it says that God spoke to Abraham. We don't have a background as to how he knew God. Where's my verse? There it is. Almost there. Almost there. Wait a minute. Genesis. I'm way off, sorry. And the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, so forth and so on. And the Bible says in verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Hebrews 11, look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called of God to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, the next word is what? Obeyed. He obeyed and he went out not knowing whither he went. That is obedience based on faith in God's word. And obedience always follows a genuine faith. Now I want you to tell you something. Elaborating a little too much. Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 13. Let me give you a story. All obedience is really not obedience. Chapter 13. You know the story? Begins with, it says in verse 1, there's this man of God. And this man of God is told by God to go and to speak against the altar of Jeroboam, who is about to burn incense on the altar, which he had no right to do so. Now, we don't know the guy's name. Do you know this story? Anybody know this story? Okay. Don't get ahead of me. There's a man of God. So God sent him. Verse 2, he says, he cries against the altar. O altar, O altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born of the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. That's a prophecy. And if you look at, we don't have time to look at, I wish we did, over in 2 Kings, forgot the verse. Anyway, over in 2 Kings, 300 years later, a man by the name of Josiah is born. He's put on the throne. He tears down the altars of Jeroboam that must have still been there, took the bones out of the grave and burned them. And so the prophecy was fulfilled. Okay? Wow. And so the altar that Jeroboam has built, the sign, verse 3 says, it talks about this altar is rent. It's going to be torn down. Jeroboam puts his hand forth to stop it. And the Bible says it dried up so that he could not pull it into him again, verse 4. And the altar was rent and the ashes poured out on the altar according to the sign of God. I'm trying to get through this. The king says, oh, please don't do that. Pray to your God that he will restore my hand. He did. Then the king, Jeroboam, says, I will give you whatever you want. I want you to come home with me. I want to reward you for what you did. You restored my arm. I want you to reward you. You remember what the man of God said? He says, I can't. Why can't you? Well, here's what he says. Look at verse 9. He says, I can't eat bread with you. I can't drink water at this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat not bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. The next verse says, he goes away from Bethel to another way. Obedience? To a point. What happens next? That's the interesting part. The next part says, there's an old prophet in Bethel. And he hears about this man of God. He goes to this man of God. He gets on his donkey and he goes to this man and says, I want you to come to my house and eat. And the man of God says, no, I can't do that because told me not to. Well, this old prophet at Bethel says, well, God told me you can. I am a prophet, and an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, verse 18, saying, bring him back unto thee, into thine house, that he may eat and drink water. Then I have underlined the last phrase in verse 18, but he lied unto him. And the man of God goes back to the house of the old prophet, and God speaks to the old prophet, and the old prophet then prophesies to this guy and says, you disobeyed me, you did wrong, you didn't follow through with what I told you to do, and you're going to be killed, and he ends up dying. What kind of obedience would you call this? I'd call this partial obedience. He did everything. He was going back, and then he said, then he gave in to this old prophet. He did not, see, you've got to be careful listening to somebody else telling you what God's will is. You better be sure you've got God's will. Don't let somebody tell you what God's will is for your life. That's one of the lessons here. And he disobeyed. So this is partial obedience obedience? Is partial obedience obedience? The answer is no, it can't be. God expects us to do everything God tells us to do. We're not to do partly, at least part of it undone. All right. And I'm nowhere near this. There's several different types of obedience. Let me list them for you. You take note. One is no obedience. Well, I'm just going to do it. Ever just say, no, I'm not going to do it? I'm not going to do it. You ever said no to God? Nobody. That's good. We've always said yes to God, right? What character to God? And just said, I'm just not going to do it. Not that he did anything wrong. He just, I'm just not going to do it. Who? Yeah, Jonah. Remember Jonah? God says, go over here to what? Tarshish? No, go to Nineveh, excuse me. Go to Nineveh. He wouldn't go to Tarshish. Nope, not doing it. Went the other way. So sometimes we say no to God. There's a second type of, and I'm just listing this for myself. There's what I call a negative obedience, where rather than just saying no, we actually do what is contrary to what God tells us to do. In my character, there's Achan. Remember Achan? God told the children, don't you partake of the things at Jericho, leave it alone. And Achan says, took of the accursed thing. But he refused to obey, and he just didn't obey. He actually did something evil and took and stole and hid it away from God. So there's a type of negative obedience. And then what I call independent obedience. Independent obedience is doing what I think is best. Here's what God has told me, but I think I have a better way of doing it. I think I'm going to do it this way, and we live independently of God. Didn't King Saul do that? Samuel said, Saul, I want you to go to Ziklag and do what? Wipe him out. And there's a reason for that. It's just not murder. There's a reason for that. God gives a reason because of what they did. Does he do that? No. He saves the king and some other people, and he saves the animals. And when Samuel says, he comes back, Saul, what'd you do? Well, I've done God's will. I've obeyed God's will. Wait a minute, Saul. What's all the bleeding of the sheep? And what's all this about? And how does Saul try to justify himself? Oh, we say those for sacrifice. And the key verse we all know, Samuel says, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. Then it goes through some religious thing. So there's Saul. And then there is doubtful obedience. And we waver. We all do this sometime. We read God's word, what he tells us to do, or we hear God's will is revealed to us. And we kind of struggle with it. Should I? Shouldn't I? Can I? Will I? We know our hearts. It's just not an easy path thing. And we just go back and forth wondering, should I or shouldn't I? I don't think I can do it. You ever been there? Sure. The character I see who did that was Moses. When God called Moses, Moses said, first thing out of his mouth, who am I? Who am I to go in before Pharaoh and ask him to let the people go? Who am I? I can't speak. I can't do this. I'm a nobody. They're not going to listen to me. So he was discussing this with God. And we do that, don't we? Anybody do that? Lord, are you sure you want me to do this? Are you sure? Anyway. Then I label what is called slow obedience. I want to get to the principles. Slow obedience. And I don't have a particular individual. I have the children of Israel. Remember the children of Israel? When they sent the spies in the land, and they came back, the 10 spies, and they just discouraged the people and said, oh, we can't go in, we can't go in, so we're not going to go in. God says through Moses, all right, you're going to be punished. You're going to wander in the wilderness, and people are going to die, and you won't go to the promised land. You won't enter the promised land. What did the people do? What did they say? Remember what they said? Oh, we'll go. Yeah, okay, we'll go. We'll do what we're told. We're ready to go now. That's it. And what did Moses, God said to him, too late. If you try to go up, you will be destroyed. Sometimes we can procrastinate and miss God's will. Did you know that? Did you ever procrastinate and not get something done? We do it all the time. All right, then there's partial obedience and there's full obedience. Let me give you four principles here. To fully obey God's commandments or God's will, there's four key things I believe are true in God's Word. And we'll see if we have, first one is heart submission. Heart submission. And I want to read these verses. Stay with me, please. It's still light outside. You can find your way home. Matthew 26. 39. Where is it? There it is. What did the Lord say in the Garden of Gethsemane? Oh, Father, if it's possible, and he wasn't trying to avoid it, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, what? Not as I will, but as thou wilt. Not my will, but thine be done, is what we typically say. So there needs to be this submissive spirit. If we want to fully obey God's word, doing what God says when he wants to, when he fully do it in the right spirit, then we need to be submitted. This is, okay, Lord, whatever you want. And that's really the beginning part, right? It's a submissive heart. It also involves a servant spirit. We don't hear this verse much, but let me read it to you. You know the context, don't you? So likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, what? After we've done everything, oh, look at us. We have done it all. We haven't. Jesus says, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. We're to be willing servants, right? A servant spirit. Serving God, serving others, just with a willingness. Can we ever serve enough? We really can never serve enough in order to, we can't repay God or to compensate or to make up for. That's not possible. It's a privilege to serve him, right? Right? To be God's servants, to be the servant of God, a servant spirit. Then there needs to be a committed self, a commitment. And I like this. They were fishing. Jesus says, cast your net on the other side. But Lord, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. What's the next word?
Word.
No, what's the next word? Close. No. Starts with an N. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, at thy command, we'll do it. At thy command, I like that. Nevertheless. God, I don't want to go in this direction. I don't like this direction. This is painful. This is not the way I'm supposed to go. This is not the way I don't want to. Nevertheless, God, because you said it, we need to be committed to the Lord. Commit ourselves to the Lord. Whatever he says, right? Right? Nevertheless, I like that. Nevertheless, Lord, because you said it, because it's your will, it's not logical. I don't see how it's going to work in my life. Nevertheless, I'll do it. And the last one is a confident security. The hard part sometimes is taking that first step of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The confidence. Is God going to do what he says? Will God really see us through life? Does God know? My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. Isn't life a wilderness? There's bumps and obstacles and problems and situations and needs and hurts. And we fall down and we scrape our knees and our hands and so forth and break things. God knows the way through the wilderness, and we need to trust him. We step out in faith, trusting God. I don't know where this path is going, Lord. The children of Israel, when they stepped in the wilderness, didn't know how they were going to get to the promised land. It was God through the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that led them, and God led them through that wilderness up to the promised land eventually, of course, the 40 years later. God led them. It is critical when we know what God tells us to do, whether it's some command, some truth of God's word, some biblical principle, it is critical when we realize, hey, that's a principle. I need to live my life that way. I need to obey. Or when God gives us and reveals his will, it's critical that we obey, because our lack of obedience reveals there's something wrong. It speaks of the quality of our love relationship with the Lord and our trust in him. If I trust him, if I really trust him, I'll obey him, right? If I really trust him, I won't worry. If I really trust him, I'll do what he tells me, even though it's not pleasant. If I trust him, then I can, nevertheless, Lord, whatever you want. Nevertheless. Well, we can't go to work. But sometimes, even when the Lord, we know, we're still hesitant. Or we're worried, we're fearful. God has a will, and the key is obedience. What we do after we've discovered God's will, or he's revealed it to us, or we see God's command, what we do is critical, because it speaks of the quality of our relationship with the Lord. He's Lord, right? We don't make him Lord. He is Lord. But he wants us to obey him. All right? All right. We'll stop there tonight. Father, we thank you for the evening. Thank you for the folks who paid attention to me tonight. I hope that we can be blessed by this truth. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Lord, the paths of life are not always easy. There's a number of our folks, Lord, whose path has had several obstacles in them. Tours, bumps. The road, Lord. Storms have come up. But Lord, you know the way through the wilderness. May we obey with a desire to please and honor you. Give us safety as we travel home tonight. Thank you for our folks. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.